Looking for answers about someone and you've hit a dead end? There's an online tool that can help you locate almost anyone within minutes. Confidentially search millions of public records by phone number, address, name, or email to find out more information about people in your life. Go to truthfinder.com to locate almost anyone now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Okay, you and I talk about this stuff a lot, so I think I know kind of where you're coming from. On a lot of it, you kind of want the sixth seed, not just for the obvious reasons. You want the sixth seed because the four and the five seed means that if you win that first round, you get Oklahoma City.
Yep.
So you don't want the four or the five.
I want Oklahoma City in the conference finals, right, where the pucker factor would be higher.
Okay. All right. So I'll grant you that, and then ask you this: what if the Clippers get here on Sunday? Both the Clippers and Warriors have already clinched a top six seed. You know that the Clippers have the tiebreaker over the Warriors, but let's say they come in with the exact same record.
Which is likely.
Which seems likely, actually. What, are you kicking that game?
Yeah.
Are you kicking that game so that you get the six?
Absolutely. I'm going to go ahead and fluff the pillow and roll back the top sheet and the duvet cover. And I'm going to take off my shoes, I'm going to put on my little nightshirt, and I'm going to lay down.
What if they do the same?
Well, then it's a battle of who can lay down better. Who can get more horizontal?
What if the Lakers are the three?
Then that changes it a little bit.
Does it?
It does and it doesn't. Like, in this scenario, I guess Denver would be the four. So do you want a Denver OKC?
Yeah, whatever.
Or do you want a Laker Houston? If I offered you two different paths, if I offered you path number one, which is you get Denver and then OKC, assuming you beat Denver, I get it. Or path number two, which would be you get the Lakers and then Houston. Which one would you rather have?
I guess Lakers and Houston.
Yeah.
But I don't care.
I know you don't care.
No, like, I think that...
I know you care, but you have no preference because you just want to be in, and then let's just see how it shakes.
I also think that they can come out of either of those.
Agreed.
I really do. Agreed. I really do. And a piece of me really thinks it would almost... It would be... I think it'd be bad for the league if the Lakers and Warriors play in the first round. I think that would be bad for the league.
It'd be less than ideal. Yeah. I wouldn't say it'd be bad, per se, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah, bad. Like, not something that's not, like... You know, detrimental. It's not going to take away from the whole experience, but that's too much too soon. You know what I mean? You need some foreplay. Can't be.
Look at you.
Yeah. Can't be the Lakers and Warriors in round one.
Sometimes you got to get right to it.
Try to avoid those situations where you're rushing.
Fair enough. But at times when, you're inside of 2 minutes and you're out of timeouts, sometimes you got to run up to the line of scrimmage. You got to snap that ball.
Right.
But you got to get that playoff now.
But that's not how we like to start.
Of course.
That's not how we like to start.
And sometimes you need to go into the two-minute drill, but yeah. I do wonder about, and I don't think the league is going to exert its influence over games to avoid this or assure that, because you can avoid a Warrior-Laker first round and never have it come to fruition.
Yeah.
One of the two teams can lose their series.
That's almost better. That's almost better. Like, you want LeBron and Steph in on the TV as long as possible. If I'm Adam Silver, that's my goal. I want LeBron and Steph on the TV as long as possible.
Well, then if you have them in two different series, now you've got two different officiating crews you have to influence in order to make sure that they both can advance.
That's exactly right.
And that's, you know.
Oh, he's got them all in their bag. It's fine.
Apparently, yeah.
None of them are good people.
Well, that's, I'm not even going to respond to that. So you were mentioning Clippers. Is Houston, like, do we have an official word on who they're not playing tonight?
Yes, we do.
And the answer is pretty much everybody. No, I know not, the Goon's not playing.
No, not everybody. No, actually, most of their guys are playing with Houston. Houston is in L.A. tonight to play on the Clippers. They are the nightcap. And if you're a Warrior fan, you're a very big Houston Rockets fan tonight, I would argue. But Houston will not have, well, it's most of them. But it's not all of them. No, Jalen Green is playing.
Oh.
He's their best player in terms of points. No Dylan Brooks. No Shingun. No Amen Thompson. No Fred VanVleet.
Okay.
And no Jabari Smith.
So five of their top eight, but, can we say?
But
top seven?
Tari Easton is in. Jalen Green is in.
Okay.
Some other people are in.
Yeah. There will be people in Rockets uniforms,
people,
you're telling me.
They're going to play. They've become a double. They're double-digit underdog.
There you go.
In the game.
So Clippers likely to get that one. And then at SAC on Friday, where I guess SAC is still...
SAC is trying.
But they may not be playing for anything if Dallas loses and you're going to be locked in at the ninth seed.
Maybe. They're not locked in, though. They're not locked in at all.
Not yet.
Yeah.
But they're locked in as a team that will be in the play-in for sure.
Yes.
Nine or ten.
They've clinched a play-in spot.
Pending what happens with this Maverick-Laker game. I'm just thinking about the Clippers and where they might be when they enter Chase. And they'll probably be 49-32. And if the Warriors handle theirs against San Antonio and Portland, they also will be 49-32. But needing the win to avoid losing the tiebreaker.
Right. Which it sounds like you don't even want.
It depends on what that is for.
Yeah.
If that means the winner gets the 6 and the loser gets the 7, now it's a different conversation.
Yeah, although that seems unlikely right now due to what happened in Milwaukee last night. That Minnesota loss really helps out. Obviously, Memphis could still go on a run. If Memphis beats Minnesota tomorrow night, don't forget them. They can get involved in this whole thing, but the Warriors have the tiebreaker there. I guess that's the scenario, if you're a Warrior fan, you're really looking to avoid. You're looking to avoid, you win tonight and you win Friday, but Memphis beats Minnesota tomorrow, and now Minnesota is like, okay, get you out of here. You're the 8. And Memphis hangs into this group too. And you have the tiebreaker over Memphis, but they keep winning, which forces you to have to win on Sunday to avoid the 7 seed. That's what you want to avoid.
Right.
Because then, by the way, you would host, if you end up in that 7 seed, you would host that opening play-in game, the 7-8 game, but it'd be the Wolves.
Yep.
That's a scary opponent.
Without a doubt.
That's a very scary opponent.
Yeah.
And you know, plus then you're playing basketball games next week, which I just think, for me, I think that's preventative for the Warriors.
Absolutely. And I'm looking at Memphis's slate. They have Minnesota Thursday at home tomorrow, at Denver the next night on a back-to-back, and Denver's certainly playing for something.
Right. It's hard to believe that Memphis will win both of those.
Right.
And if they don't, then the Warriors simply need to take care of tonight and Friday.
And then they conclude with a home game against Dallas, and as mentioned, Dallas may, in that moment, not be playing for anything if they lose tonight, and now you're behind SAC and you can't catch them. That one becomes kind of a weird one. I mean, does Dallas rest guys getting ready for the play-in that they know they're going to have on Tuesday or Wednesday? So for Memphis to win the next two, a tough back-to-back where it's home for Minnesota and then the next night at Denver, I don't see them winning both. So if they can just
going to need you to lose one.
Lose to Minnesota and beat Denver would be the ideal.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what we want.
And the Warriors obviously take care of their two both tonight and Friday. And
right. Then
and
you're then safe. Then you're top safe. Six.
And you're safe. And
then we can go ahead and kick it against the Clippers.
Kick your feet up on, and I'm going to that game. I'm going on Sunday.
Okay.
We're bringing everybody.
A little 12:30.
Everybody.
A little matinee.
Everybody's coming.
Yeah.
Everybody's coming.
You going to be able to make it home in time to do your show?
Hope so.
Okay. Because that's where, 12:30 and... You get out of there at 3.
Yeah, you got a couple hours to get home. Yeah. We're fine. We're fine. Just
Third
just,
Street traffic.
Please, nobody protest on the bridge.
Ah, good point.
That'd be my only request for Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. You may want to bring your road rig with you. That way you can just broadcast from the bridge.
Well, I mean, if something really goes crazy, I'd just drive right over here.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, we can just dial up from here. But anyway, whatever. 888-957-9570 is the number. Obviously, Brandon Pajemski's name has come up quite a bit today. He is playing unbelievable basketball, and for my money, has become the most important non-Big Three warrior as they move into the playoffs. I just think that we know what defenses are going to do. They're going to beat up Steph. They're going to try to clog the middle with Jimmy Butler. They're going to try to get him to pass out of his penetration. That's what defenses are going to do. So what do we as Warrior fans always say when things aren't going well offensively? We say the same thing. Can somebody else score the basketball? Well, someone has raised their hand. He's raised his hand. It's Brandon Pajemski. He has averaged 18.6 points per night since he's come back from injury over the last 11. Small sample? Yes. Tiny sample? No. No. 42 three-point makes during that stretch of 11 games, the most of any NBA player since March 18th. That is a stunning stat. Listen to what Steve Kerr had to say about it last night. They first asked about his scoring.
It's changed everything, you know, just the last month or so, knocking down the threes, feeling so confident back there. But the way he can get to the rim, uses Euro step, the way he runs through the catch against closeouts and breaks the defense down and either scores or finds somebody else for an open shot. Brandon is generating a ton of offense for us.
Okay, so he says it's changed everything. And then Kerr was asked, has Brandon officially taken the next step in his career?
I do, yeah. He's definitely taken a leap the last month. And, you know, it's really coincided with Jimmy's arrival. The two of them have this great connection. Brandon solidified his spot as a starter. You know, I've always felt when you can stack together a lot of high IQ players, the game becomes easier for everyone. And that's what I'm seeing right now between Jimmy, you know, BP, Draymond, Steph. It's really fun to watch them all click.
Okay, so that's a little different than when he was pounding on the table about Brandon Pajemski about 3 months ago.
Right, and I do think a lot of it is his own improvement, but also the arrival of Jimmy Butler. And Steve Kerr always talks about combinations, who plays well with whom, and I'm looking at it right now on Basketball Reference, the best two-man combination by plus-minus, like points for, points against, when you're together, is Jimmy Butler and Brandon Pajemski. They are a plus-15.5 per 100 possessions when the two of them are a part of any combination of lineups. Then you go to Butler and Green, Green and Moody, Green and Buddy, Steph and Pods, Steph and Moses, Moses and Pods. Pods is in three of the top seven two-man combos for the Warriors.
Hold on. I would like to hear that done slower. Say again to all the people.
Best combo by plus minus.
Okay. Best combo. Any, and these are all Warriors.
All Warriors.
And this is the whole year?
This is the whole year.
All right. Let me hear that again.
Butler and Pods is number one.
Butler and Pods is number one.
Yes, with 15.5. Far and away better than the number two combo, which is Butler and Draymond.
Butler and Draymond.
Right behind is Draymond and Moses. Right behind that is Draymond and Buddy. Then you get to Steph and Pods. Steph and Moses, Moses and Pods. And these are two-man combos. So the other three are obviously a factor, but if you go to three-man combos, and I won't bore everyone with all of this, but the top three-man combo is Butler, Green, and Pods. Butler, Green, and Pods. Now, Steph Curry is on number two, three, five, eight, nine,
sure.
I mean, the majority of them, but your best plus-minus trio is Butler, Green, and Pods.
Hmm.
And if you go to four-man combos, Pods is on the best one of those two. It's Butler, Green, Pods, and
Steph.
Quentin Post.
Oh, that's weird.
It is weird.
Okay.
But again, if you look at these combos, Pods tends to be on a lot of the, the best ones.
What are we missing here? What are we missing
here? Who are we missing or what are we missing?
No, what do we, I mean, like, let's go back to your original answer off the top of the show then. Let me ask you again. okay? Poll question for the day on Willard and Dibbs. Who, beyond the big three, is the most important warrior to their playoff success? You still going to go with the guy whose name did not come out of your mouth at all over the last 5 minutes, naming all of the best combos of Warrior basketball? His name was not even uttered in any of them. You're still going to stick with that?
Yeah. Don't use my numbers against me.
Well, wait. That's what I do.
I know. Yeah. And that's why numbers are numbers. No, I probably should have found some numbers to bolster my own point.
Right, but I'd like to pause right now, though.
Numbers are numbers, and numbers are numbers.
Thank you. I want to pause right now because it did a whole rant yesterday that I wholeheartedly stand by. I am not pitting any warrior against any other warrior. You put a jersey on, I want you to play through the roof. I want you to be your best self. I want all of that stuff. I only bring this up to highlight my point about Brandon, not knock anybody else down. But what you're telling me is that this goes way beyond the obvious. The obvious is, wow, dude, he's hit 42 threes in the last 11 games. He's averaging 18.6 points per night. And Steve Kerr is using valuable press conference real estate to talk about how he has connected all of these things and he has taken the next step in his career. That's the obvious. What you're talking about right now is the not so obvious. And I think that to me, it adds up to a very clear point. Brandon Podziemski is a core player. That's a core player. What you just said tells me that's a core player.
Well, he is a part of the most successful two-man, three-man, four-man, and I didn't even get to this, the best five-man combination. And I'm pretty sure you play five-on-five, but it involves pods. And this one's kind of a funky one. It's Butler, Heald, Looney, Gee, and pods.
Really?
They're a plus 45.7 per 100. They've only played 31 minutes together.
Okay,
so
yeah, but this is...
That's
this
a micro sample.
It's all based on rating.
It's based on, like, rating per 100 possessions. And so when you play 31 minutes together, that extrapolated number,
it's
a small number that gets made larger. But I think the bigger point is that in all of these different combinations with a number of different players, they play well when Pods is actually playing basketball.
My point is this. If you listen to all of this, and if that made sense to anybody, and if it didn't make your brain hurt, and all
it's,
these...
Yeah, a little mumbo-jumbo.
Whatever. Yeah. The bottom line is this. Why is anybody having any sort of curiosity with regard to why Brandon plays so much for the Warriors? So many minutes. Why? Because that.
Right, and that's Steve Kerr looks at this data, and he loves this data, which is why I started mining it, because every time we have Steve on, he talks about, you know, three-man combo, and we want to see who plays well with whom and this and that, and so we always ask him about that with Kuminga and Butler, and if you look at the Kuminga and Butler combination, it's not great in terms of how well they do in a plus-minus standpoint. It's not to blame either one of them.
No.
It's just... Styles.
He works with all the lineups.
Right.
He works with all the teammates. He works in this situation and that situation and this one over here and with that teammate. Okay, a couple texts that are coming in. First, 510, can I get a quick recap on what plus minus means? Sure. So plus minus basically is how your team does when you're on the floor. Okay. If you go out there for 5 minutes and during that 5 minutes you're up by six, you get a plus six. If you're down by six, you get a minus six. So all of these advanced numbers are talking about through the entire year, blend all those players together, and what is their average per game on plus minus. And Brandon is littered all over all of the lineups. Two-man lineup, three-man lineup, four-man lineup, five-man lineup. But another 510 says, you're not comparing apples to apples. Kuminga didn't play with Butler nearly as much as Brandon did. You're not talking about aggregate overall numbers.
Right.
You're talking about average numbers. And we're not just talking about Jimmy Butler. A lot of those pods matchups you just mentioned didn't even have Jimmy Butler in them.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right, and then the next text is the one that I've been waiting for all day, 925. We get it, Willard. You don't like Kuminga. I'm not. talking about Jonathan Kuminga. I'm trying to figure out why Brandon Pajemski seems to be like confusing to some people. Is it his lack of eye-popping athleticism? Is it floppy hair? Is it that early on in the year he wasn't playing well? I don't know what it is, but I know we get that a lot. What is Kerr's fascination with Brandon Pajemski? Listen to Dan Dibley. He just told you. Brandon is phenomenal on the stuff that we see lately, but overall, I'd argue on the stuff that we don't see. Take this conversation back to last year. Why did Pods get so many minutes? I just say it this way. I think Mike Dunleavy absolutely hit a damn grand slam with the 19th pick in the draft a couple of seasons ago when he selected Brandon Pajemski out of Santa Clara. My God.
And he just continues to look better and better. And I know that what he's done the last 11 games is, it's probably the ceiling. Maybe Pods can be better long-term. I don't know if he can. The guy's shooting 52% from three over the past 11 games, which is absolutely bananas. No NBA player, even the chef himself, you don't shoot that well over the course of an entire season or career, and that's fine. And the other piece of it, in terms of Jonathan Kuminga and defending him, he's only played, since Jimmy Butler arrived, 13 games, and in those 13 games, 277 minutes.
Right.
And of those minutes, I don't have the exact number in front of me of Kuminga and Jimmy together on the court, probably not a lot of those minutes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they don't really match up skill set wise.
Yeah, hasn't worked very well.
Right.
Now look, there's the defensive side of the ball. Pods is not a great defender, but again, the stuff that you're talking about blends all sides of the court. It's just in terms, it's like, how do the Warriors play when he's out there? And the answer is better. The answer is better. So, you know, kind of going back to our poll question, I absolutely and unequivocally believe that this is, he has become the most important non-Big Three Warrior for this team.
But I think it's easy to say that when he plays like he has. And if that continues, then, yeah, it's a slam dunk. But I would go with Kuminga because what Kuminga can be when he's 100% healthy. And remember, he had the really bad ankle sprain, cost him more than 2 months. And then he had the bruised tailbone or the pelvic contusion, whatever they want to call it. And so that kind of hampered him. I just don't think that we've seen Jonathan Kuminga all the way back and comfortable playing with Jimmy Butler yet.
Totally agree. Totally agree. And I'd actually like to point to, I think we've seen some things in the last week of action that are very, very encouraging with Jonathan Kuminga, starting with Thursday night's game in L.A. My favorite Jonathan Kuminga game of the year, by far, by far. I think that Jonathan now at least has kind of the right idea of what the coaching staff wants him to do in terms of defense and rebounding and hustle and all of that stuff, and I think that you see it trying. I'm still hoping for him to look more comfortable when the ball gets in his hands, in terms of what to do on the offensive side. But that'll come. I firmly believe that'll come. He's an important, important player. But Pajemski has become this team's number four. He's become this team's number four. We had our poll question that we put out earlier, and this was it. Other than the big three, which Warrior do you think is most important to their playoff success? Moses Moody, Pods, JK, or other, someone else. Engagement is everything on the court and in life. So thanks to all of you for voting in our engaging Dub Nation poll on 95.7 The Game's Twitter page. We do it before every game, and we got a game coming up tonight. We got some news coming out of that game, by the way, which we'll tell you in just a second. It's brought to you by Shane Coe, your friend and jeweler. All right, the question we ask, I just put it out there. Here are the results. 71% say Brandon Pajemski. 18% say Jonathan Kuminga. 9.4% say Moses Moody. And only 1.6% say other.
I mean, who would the other be? Quentin Post or
GP2?
I guess. I mean, you're getting down to the Buddy real Heald? Ancillary pieces.
Buddy Heald hitting threes?
Yeah.
That's not a craziest answer.
It's not, but, I mean, Buddy Heald hitting threes is one game 7 of 10, the next game 1 of 4, and he has a short leash. So, I mean, if Buddy gets on a heater like Pods is right now, well, then, yeah, he can be somewhat impactful. But I think Buddy Hield's role now is kind of in that 15 to 18 minute guy. Come in and light it up or don't. Either way, you're not going to get a huge leash unless you're on a real heater.
GP2 is out tonight.
Okay.
I guess the knee is a little still swollen. Is that it, Grandy? The knee's still a little bit swollen. Steve Kerr talking pregame tonight. It's almost easy to forget, in a way, that the Warriors play the Spurs tonight. Like, we're so kind of locked in on, A, what happened last night and everything happening around the Western Conference. This Mavericks-Lakers game is pretty interesting in Dallas. Luka tears and actually a small lead for the Mavericks here in the first half. We'll keep you up to date on that. But I think that there is a dynamic of the rest of the Warriors' week that I trust them to handle, yet I want to point out they still need to handle it, and that is to kind of like not get overwhelmed by thinking about and looking at all of this stuff. You have to remember that even though it's the Spurs and the Blazers, NBA players with shoes and jerseys and socks and all of that, and you just never know when someone's going to hit a heater. And you absolutely, like, tonight is just as much of a must-win as last night was.
Yeah, it's
you
big.
You have to win.
Yeah, well, I don't want to get bogged down in the phraseology, because if you don't win, it's like Super Bowl or bust. Well, it's must-win or try again.
Well,
you're not going to be worse than the 8 seed.
No,
so
the season doesn't end. But based on the goals that a lot of us have, the opinions that a lot of us have, there's no losing these three games.
No,
there's none.
It starts tonight, and it is the second half of a back-to-back, and you've got, you know, an older team, and luckily you didn't really have to exert too much last night. That thing was a classic Mark Willard ottoman game, which, oof, if you're familiar with the piece of furniture, you just put your feet up on that ottoman, and you put a pillow behind the small of your back and one behind your head, and if you fall asleep, you fall asleep.
You're going to sleep. Yeah, fall asleep.
You got the feet on the ottoman, and that thing was night-night early on, so you didn't have to exert. So really, to me, no excuses coming home. Short flight from Phoenix. You're 17-point favorites, but I do think about this year. And was it Grimes from Philadelphia?
Brett Grimes, yes.
Brett Grimes. You got hit on a Grimesy game.
Yep.
Where he had 46?
I don't remember the exact number, but Quentin Grimes.
Grimes.
You know what you said?
I said Brent.
Yeah.
Well, I think he's an NFL player, isn't he?
I don't know.
Yeah, Brent Grimes. Yeah. Brent Grimes is an NFL cornerback.
Yeah.
Anyway, my bad.
Well,
yeah,
Quentin Grimes. I referred to Amon Thomas earlier in the week, and Lucas came on here laughing. But much like Steiny, Lucas is afraid of you. So there's that.
Not, well, he did make a face. He made a face.
Right.
Yeah, he didn't come on the air, but he made a face.
Right.
About Brent Grimes?
Yeah, Brent
Grimes. You are right, cornerback.
Yeah, cornerback.
Also had, there was all sorts of drama with his wife.
Yeah, the wife, yeah. No, the drama. There's a lot of drama.
Yeah.
Brent Grimes, Tampa Bay, Miami. Yeah, Brent Grimes. There's stuff. That's his motto. There's stuff going on here.
Yeah. Oh,
he's kind of like Tyreek Hill. There's stuff going on here.
I was trying to think of the Simpsons character, and that's Frank Grimes, who was Homer Simpson's co-worker at the power plant. So when I hear Grimes, because Homer, hey, Grimesy, Homer was always like up in Frank's business, and Frank didn't like Homer. So
I never got into
watched
Simpsons.
It. Yeah. I get it.
I've seen it.
You're aware of it.
I never got into anything. I just, like, I used to, and then I had kids. I don't get into anything anymore. The Warrior game and the Giants game.
So
and the Niners game.
You can't break down the White Lotus, for example? Or
no clue. Okay. None.
You've heard of it, though, I'm sure.
Heard of it, yeah. Okay. I heard even Steiny's watching it. He thought it was okay.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Grandy's giving it a thumbs down. You don't like White
season
Lotus?
Season 3 was nowhere near as good as season 2.
I heard that was the thing. Like, Steiny was down on season 3, but Guru was high on it, but it turned out Guru was watching season 1.
That is watching the most Guru thing ever.
He's like, God. I like it! And they're like, yeah, that's the wrong season.
Bluegill, it's a salmon.
Yeah, bluegill's a salmon.
It's a two for your Guru,
or
a
bass or a perch or whatever. It's a fish.
Right.
It's a fish and it's easy to catch.
Yeah.
It's the fish that you catch when you can't catch anything else.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something you're into, fishing. I've never fished in
my
life.
I'm actually not into fishing at all.
You bring your kids.
Well, he brings me.
Okay.
I'm into hanging out with my son.
Nice.
Yeah. So
will you actually cast and try to catch something?
Absolutely. I catch fish all the time. But if you left me to my own devices as a human being, I'd leave the fish alone.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
We're going to leave them alone,
son.
Like,
y'all got to know what happens when I catch a fish Abe has to be there. I will not fish without Abe because I don't know what the hell to do when I catch a fish.
Right.
Like if he decides.
Because you guys are doing catch and release, I assume.
Completely.
Right.
And so if he does, you know, fishermen walk around and go to different spots.
Okay.
And so if he takes off and he goes like 100 yards away, like this is what I do. Well, I'll catch a fish and you bring the thing out of the water and one thing happens. Abe!
Can you help me with my fish?
And he comes running. He comes running over rocks and down the path because he's not, I'm just look at him and I'll just hand him the rod. I don't know. What do we do now?
Yep.
There's a fish on this thing. Somebody got to get the fish off of this thing.
Right.
Not going to be me.
You're not going to be able to grab the fish and then unhook it and give it that gentle little.
He's got his little thing that he sticks in there and to get the hook out and then he knows what to do to get him swimming again. And I have no clue. So I'm just like, here, look, I caught a fish. Here you go.
That's hilarious.
Go. That's how we fish.
Yep.
So I don't know what's going on.
I get it.
But I know that a bluegill is not a bass.
Yep. Score one for Mark Wheeler.
Also not a salmon.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, we'll go a lot this summer. We'll go a lot this summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got some nice lakes up by you too, which is fun.
Yeah. We go up to Bon Tempe and catch the bass, throw them back. They're strong fish. They're fine. They're hanging out.
They're going
to
pull through.
Yeah, they pull through.
Even if they have to wait for your son to come unhook them.
Totally. The bass, you got some time with the bass. They'll usually look at you and be like, really?
Like, you caught me?
Like I was chilling in there. You needed to pull me out of here.
Of all the people to catch me, dude, you caught me?
You don't even know what to do to get this thing out of my mouth.
Hey, rookie, do me a favor. Call for your son so I can get back in this damn lake. I'm drying out over here.
Seriously.
You caught me.
Me and my wife were hanging out in the water. You got to pull me out of there.
That would be like the Warriors losing to the Spurs tonight is a bass getting caught by you.
I can't even believe you just said that.
It was a good transition
point.
Get
that thought out of your mouth.
No, but I mean, if you can catch a bass, then the Spurs can beat the Warriors being 17-point dogs.
Luka is officially out of his feelings. He's back to himself. He took a quarter to be like up in his feelings, and now he's yelling at refs again. And the Lakers are up by five.
He's
late
got
second 25.
Yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah. No. He's locked in. That's what I mean.
And
he's
I mean,
out of
points,
his feelings.
Not technical.
No, I know. Let's go to Christian in Fairfield. Hi, Christian. Thank you for calling. What's up?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What you doing?
That was a good Giants game today. I just got out of the Giants game. That was an awesome game, by the way.
How about that, Christian?
I called Steiny and Guru earlier to give Steiny a bad time about pods, and Guru said, bring a bat. Man, I brought my bat in the eighth inning. I mean, seventh inning, huh?
Wait a minute. You brought a bat to the Giants game? I don't think they allow you to do that.
Yeah, Guru was trying. No, I didn't get it in.
Got it. I got you, Christian.
No.
All right.
Because they weren't hitting, so Guru was like, bring it back.
It worked.
I talked about you earlier on signing Guru. I commended you because you don't entertain the Podzinski and the Kuminga banter. I really commend that as a former basketball player because that's weak as the fans do that.
Yeah, we're all in the same gang, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man, we got the same jersey on. Why are you over here saying? And they don't even play the same position. But my point on that was it's the Embiid and Jokic. Everyone thought Embiid was better than Jokic because he's more athletic. So when they see pods, they compare him. They say, oh, he can't jump. He's unathletic. Neither was Chris Mullin. Neither is Jokic. That's irrelevant in basketball. You can use a player's athleticism against them if your skill set is right. Steph Curry does it all the time.
So that's actually a great point.
I think the pod criticism. I got guarded at like Steph in college because I'm small. So I think the pod criticism comes with his athleticism. But that, I mean, if you play basketball, you know that doesn't matter. The guy rebounds. That's hustle. That's energy. That's effort. He's got a high IQ. And the thing that he changed while he's getting so much time, you can see clips of Draymond telling him, I like to move when he gets in his, tries to get in his bag and do the Euro, but take the open shot. And that's what he's doing now. He's not trying to do too much. He's playing within the system, within himself, and he's shining. And we should be happy that we got a third piece.
Christian, where'd you play in college?
I played at San Francisco State for 2 years, and then I transferred to Brooklyn College, and I foregoed my senior year to go overseas, and I broke my leg, and that was it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. That's cool, man. You're a baller. Thanks, Christian. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's kind of the way I feel about this. Somehow, some way, this it seems difficult for Warrior fans this year to avoid denigrating the conversation into one player's doing A, and therefore it sounds like you're putting another player down. I love where the Warriors are at right now. I love where the Warriors are at right now. They have become a top five favorite to win the NBA championship. Can you just let that resonate in your brain for a second? Think about where we were at Christmas. Think about the conversations we were having. The Warriors are now the fourth favorite to win a ring. To win a ring. They have lost three basketball games with Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler on the floor together. And now you're finding a second-year player coming off of an all-rookie selection that has decided here in the second half of the season to show everybody that he can score 18 points a night and has become consistent in all kinds of different ways on the floor. And the promise of the athleticism of Jonathan Kuminga still sits there. That still is sitting there.
Right.
All of these things are happening together. I love where they're sitting right now. I think all of this is in really good shape.
They're sitting pretty, and you know, you make a good point about the Kuminga side of it, and this is not to compare Pods to Kuminga because we don't do that here on Willard and Dibs, but I will look at the Kuminga contribution since Jimmy came, and it hasn't been a lot because Kuminga was hurt for the first stretch, then he got hurt again. Meanwhile, Pods has played in almost every game that Jimmy Butler has and has been here, and he has been terrific with Jimmy Butler, and this is not to compare the two, but it's just to say, even without getting a lot from Kuminga, and I mentioned it before that it's about 270 minutes since Jimmy Butler arrived, even though Kuminga hasn't played a lot, you've still been an almost unbeatable team. So your point is well made about the added bonus of Kuminga, and that's why I think that he could be the most important of the non-Big Three, because when healthy, when he's able to contribute more consistently and more like we're used to him seeing, well then, all of a sudden now you've got five or six legitimate weapons out there.
I do want to see that in the playoffs. Like, I mean, this kind of throws our poll question on its ear, but if the Warriors do go on a long playoff run, it's going to kind of be like what we see in other sports too, where like it's a different person every night. You know what I mean? Like if they're going to win an opening playoff series, there will need to be a Pods game, and there probably will need to be a Kuminga game. Do you know what I mean? Like where, right. And that's the way playoff runs go. I mean, go to the first Giants World Series. This is the best example that's coming to my mind. They had stars on the team. They had Buster Posey and you know, all of the core guys, the pitchers and the Lincecums and all of this. But what do we get out of it? We got Cody Ross. We got Pat Burrell. We got people like this who step in and suddenly become, for one night or for two nights, you're going to moonlight as a star. And Pods has that capability, and Kuminga has that capability, and Moody has that capability, and Buddy Hield has that capability. And if this playoff run is long, I think you'll get little sprinkles of all of that. Most likely.
Well, you're probably going to need it because you're relying on a 37-year-old Steph Curry who is phenomenal, one of the greatest players to ever do it. But we've seen, take the Houston game the other night when everyone's talking about the fatigue of the Warriors, and that's real, and Houston determined to take him out of the game, and you didn't really have much in the way of a step-up player, and so you ended up losing to Houston. You stayed in it. Pods was great. Jimmy Butler didn't really attack the basket that much. Draymond Green wasn't terrific. So if that happens, if your big three are all subpar, you're probably going to lose that game unless you do get, you know, two or more of your role guys to just go off.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. We got some final thoughts and a little bit of a special treat coming up. And so we're going to get to all of that. We're also keeping an eye on Lakers and Mavs. They've almost reached halftime. The Lakers are up 55-51. And where's the Luka tracker? He got 28.
Yeah.
Well, at least they're not highlighting him.
He's got 28. The rest of the team has 27.
Oh, my God.
So.
Oh, my God. They have completely made this all about him, which is funny because, by the way, they're playing with fire a little bit. This is a disaster for the Lakers if they lose this game.
Yes.
This puts them in a pressurized spot.
And speaking of fire, according to sources, the crowd is chanting "Fire Nico." So
while he's sitting there watching the game, by the way,
with security,
yeah,
he's got.
I might have stayed home if I were him tonight.
Well, you got to put you put your name on it.
Yeah.
You're the GM, so you show up. You got to take it.
Crazy. Warrior Wednesday is brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. This is Willard and Dibs.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, back indeed. We are just over an hour away from Warriors and Spurs right here on 95.7 The Game, which means we're about 10 minutes away from handing it over to E-Dog. Evan Giddings is going to have Warriors Live tonight and take you all the way up until tip. We're also keeping an eye on all of the other games around the association that matter to you. A lot of them are late tonight alongside the Warrior game. The Lakers are playing in Dallas and lead by 3 at half. And we also had a 26-year-old player crying at a tribute video that was played at the start of the game, which has got to be a first. I don't know how many tribute videos go out to 26-year-old players.
It's pretty rare.
Yeah.
And I was just looking at the all-time Mavericks scoring list, and he is, I think, number 5 all-time.
Wow.
In 7 years.
26.
Right. Not quite 7 full years.
Damn.
But Dirk is number 1, and some of the familiar names are between them. But I was surprised to see how high on the list Luka was in just such a short stint.
He's hitting a lot of threes. We've been watching threes all year long for the Warriors because of Triples for Autism, brought to you by Petinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. You all know how near and dear this is to us. We have loved working with both Petinelli and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area all year long, and the Warriors did it again with 15 three-pointers last night, which means it's enough for another donation from Petinelli to the Autism Society San Francisco. Pods led the way. He had 4. Steph chipped in with 3. Pat Spencer had 2 three-pointers last night, and a handful of others all had 1. So that is the 54th donation of the year for Triples for Autism. We always remind you, if you would like to get involved, we would love that. You go to sfautismsociety.org. Triples for Autism is brought to you by Petinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Petinelli is here for you, offering financial guidance and support throughout life's milestones. Go to petinellifp.com. And let's also go out live to the Warrior game, because it is Autism Awareness and Special Needs Night at the Warrior game with the Spurs in town. And our friend Greg Nimitz is on the scene and heading out to the Warrior game tonight. Hey, Greg, what's going on?
Well, you know, I'm standing here ready to walk into the arena. I'm super excited about the game and Special Needs Night. They're letting all the special needs people down on the floor for a shoot-around right now. So that's super fun. And, boy, I got to tell you, great job with the Triples for Autism and Petinelli. They've been a great supporter of the Autism Society, you know, all season. And somewhere or another, we convinced them that the bar would be 10 triples a night, which is actually a very low bar.
Right.
So they've had to donate a lot of money to the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. But they're just a great partner. You know, they do their golf tournament every year at Harding Park. It's coming up September 5th. Now we're doing Triples for Autism, and, you know, it's really a great organization. It helps out a lot of families with activities and advocacy and education. So can't say enough about Petinelli and all they're doing for this organization, and we're excited about the game tonight. We've got a whole section up in 215. We'll be cheering for the team, and hopefully we can bring home another win. Spurs, knock on wood, it should be a good one.
Yeah, Greg, Dan Dibley here. Dibs, it's been so long since we've spoken, and just to see you as a part of this organization, and Mark and I do the Petinelli thing every time after a game, and yeah, the bar set at 10 threes. You're a genius for getting them into a spot where they're going to have to fork over a lot of dough, because 10 threes, it's like Steph Curry and a half.
Yeah, no, exactly. I can't remember how I did that, but I did it, and it's good to hear your voice too, Dan. Although I hear your voice every day, so You guys sound great. Station sounds great, and it's good to reconnect with y'all. Been a couple of years. I haven't seen the new studios yet. I got to get over there.
You got to come by and see it. Yeah. And would you send a special thank you tonight to Brandon Pajemski, Greg? Because I think when you guys did set that number at 10, like, little did you know that, you knew you had Steph, you knew you had Buddy. Little did you know this guy over the last month is leading the NBA in threes.
Yeah, what happened, man? Something happened to that guy after he got, I think when he got the internal injury, it like adjusted his shot or something, because he's all of a sudden going out of his mind. It's been really fun to watch.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Well, Greg Nemitz is on the scene, and we really appreciate you checking in and saying hi, and have a great time, you and your whole family, at the game tonight, Greg.
Yeah, and thank you. Thank you, Pettinelli, and thank you, Autism Society. It's all good, man. Thanks, guys.
All right, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
Have a great night.
Take care.
All right, you too. There he goes. Greg Nemitz. And again, want to mention this one more time. If you want to get involved, because that's how it gets even better, right? We got Pettinelli really supporting this with all of the donations, but then it gets even better when it multiplies with all of us getting involved as well. So if you want to do that, go to sfautismsociety.org, and that can be either with a donation or all kinds of other ways where you can get involved.
I love stuff like this, Mark, where it's a local business organization, Pettinelli Financial Partners, and a local autism society organization coming together to help people, and we get to be the third-party conduit.
Yep.
And all we have to do is root for something we're already rooting for our team to make threes, and when they make threes, you do the read. And we get to get excited, and we get to direct people to hopefully pump more money into this great organization via Pettinelli Financial Partners.
No doubt. And with Jimmy Butler showing up and unlocking so many of the role players on this team, that has been yet another byproduct. Obviously, most of it is just we love watching Warrior basketball, and they're winning a lot of basketball games. But another byproduct are these donations and helping out SF Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. So that's great. And just kind of like taking a step back and looking at this day, this week, this month, I don't know if we've given enough publicity to this. Have you noticed we're kind of on a heater right now? Have you noticed this?
The Bay Area sports landscape, like, or just you and I?
Both.
Yeah.
But I mean, put aside the 49ers, right? That stunk. But like, that's a 2024 thing. 2025 gets here. We kind of wobble our way through January. February hits, trade deadline, boom. Here's Jimmy Butler, and if he and Steph Curry both play, they've lost three basketball games. The Giants are now 2 weeks into the season. They've lost three baseball games. Walk-off splash hit on a 75-degree sun splash day when they were down 6-1 to the Cincinnati Reds in the fifth or sixth inning. And the Warriors are gonna get the Spurs tonight. They're gonna pummel the Spurs tonight. I feel great about that. We're gonna have playoff basketball ahead. The Giants are exciting. Kind of rolling right now, man.
Absolutely.
And tomorrow's Thursday. It's the best day of the week.
Best day of the week.
Yeah. Crushing it right now.
One thing missing, and I hope it comes to fruition tonight, and it ties in with the Pettinelli triples for autism, because he tried it again last night. And it didn't go down.
What's that?
Trayce Jackson-Davis. I don't know if you saw it, but he hoisted his third three of the year, and he's one of the only guys on the team to not make a three. Kevon's 2-for-5, so if it gets lopsided tonight, look for a Steve Kerr-designed play for TJD to add to the Pettinelli donation triples for autism.
Yeah, he's the only one left?
Well, you've got Braxton Key.
Well, no.
Played 8 minutes.
Yeah, who play?
Yes, he's the last one.
The only one.
Yep.
Man, yeah, there's not a lot of them in the NBA anymore who don't knock one down. And now that Looney is over here shooting 40%.
Right?
Right?
He's saying, Pods, hold my beer. Your cute little 37%.
I love it. All right, great day, everybody. And you know, more coming tomorrow. We got reaction to tonight's game tomorrow. We'll start getting you ready for Portland. We're going to know a lot more about the Western Conference lay of the land, all of that. And here comes the game, and here comes Warriors Live with Evan Giddings, the Spurs, in town tonight. It is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
I can't wait.
Yeah, we're going to do it again tomorrow, okay? For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.